ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, The Son of Dronapanish, text number 15. Mata Shishunam Vidhanam Sutanam Nishamya Ghoram Parita Pyamana Tadaruda Dvaspa Kalakulakshi Tam Santav Tam Santvayan Aha Kivit Tamali Mata Shishunam Nidhanam Sutanam Nishamya Ghoram Paritapyamana Tadaruda Vaspa Kalakulakshi Tam Santav Vayam Aha Kirittamali Mata Shishunam Nidhanam Sutanam Nishamya Ghoram Paritapyamana Tadaruda Vaspa Kalakulakshi Tam Santavyam Aha Kirittamali Mata, the mother. Shishunam, of the children. Nidhanam, massacre. Sutanam, of the sons. Nishamya, after hearing. Ghoram, ghastly. Paritapyamana, lamenting. Tada, at that time. Arudat, began to cry. Vaspa kala akula akshi, with tears in the eyes. Tam, her. Santavyan, pacifying. Aha, said. Kirittamali, Arjuna. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Draupadi, the mother of the five children of the Pandavas, after hearing of the massacre of her sons, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears. Trying to pacify her in her great loss, Arjuna spoke to her thus. Translation responsibly. Draupadi, the mother of the five children of the Pandavas, after hearing of the massacre of her sons, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears. Trying to pacify her in her great loss, Arjuna spoke to her thus. So there is no purport, I'll read the next text. Tada suchaste pramrijami bhadre yad brahma bandho shira atata yinaha gandiva muktair vishikhair upahare tvakramya yat snasyasi dagda putra. Translation. O gentle lady, when I present you with the head of that brahmana, after beheading him with arrows from my gandiva bow, I shall then wipe the tears from your eyes and pacify you. Then, after burning your son's bodies, you can take your bath standing on his head. Purport. An enemy who sets fire to the house, administers poison, attacks all of a sudden with deadly weapons, plunders wealth or usurps agricultural fields, or entices one's wife, is called an aggressor. Such an aggressor, though he be a brahmana or a so-called son of a Brahmana has to be punished in all circumstances. When Arjuna promised to behead the aggressor named Ashwatthama, he knew well that Ashwatthama was the son of a Brahmana. But because the so-called Brahmana acted like a butcher, he was taken as such. And there was no question of sin in killing such a Brahmana's son, who proved to be a villain. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiltanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are in this section of the Bhagavatam. We're going to hear how Ashwatthama will be punished by the Pandavas, headed by Arjuna in this case. And just before that, we heard about Vyasadeva's vision when he was in meditation. So, as is described here, that Draupadi was the mother of five children. Another name of Draupadi is also Panchali, again meaning the mother of five children. And yesterday, Gopamandashrava very beautifully described how this pastime took place, leading to text number 14, where Duryodhan was basically lying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra with his spine broken. So we heard how Ashwatthama, because he was quite enraged that the battle of Kurukshetra was won by unfair means, therefore he wanted to take revenge against the Pandavas. And we heard that how he contrived that he would go into the camp of the Pandavas and kill them at night while they were sleeping. So, but by instead of killing the Pandavas, he actually killed the five sons of the Pandavas. And then he took the heads of the five sons of the Pandavas to his master Duryodhan. And as was described yesterday, that Duryodhan wasn't very pleased by that, and he wanted to verify if those heads were of the Pandavas. So he took those heads and he tried to crush them with his hands. And all of them were crushed very easily. So then he knew that these heads do not belong to the Pandavas because they were so easily crushed. The Pandavas' heads are like made of steel, they cannot be crushed. So then he concluded, because they would look very similar to the Pandavas, so he concluded that these are actually the sons of the Pandavas. And even Duryodhan, who was so evil-minded, and we also know about Duryodhan, in so many ways he tried to annihilate the Pandavas by so many unfair means. But even he said that this is a very ghastly, heinous act. So he actually chastised Ashwatthama. So in these two verses, here we are seeing that Draupadi or Panchali is actually lamenting the loss of her five sons. And that's quite natural. If a mother loses her child, and naturally there will be lamentation. We even see that in lower species of life, if a cow loses her calf, or even if a cat loses a kitten, then they lament. It's quite natural. So in this case also, because the affection is very strong, Draupadi was lamenting. So we know Draupadi is the daughter of King Drupal. And so how, we'll just briefly look at how Draupadi got married to the Pandavas and why she's called Panchali. So Arjun was taught the military science by Dronacharya. And Dronacharya's son is Ashwatthama. And King Drupad is the father of Draupadi. So Draupadi was actually born from a sacrifice. King Drupad was performing a sacrifice, and first came Rishtadyumna, and after that came Draupadi. And King Drupad wanted to hand over Draupadi to Arjuna because he wanted her to get married by him. And at that time, the Pandavas were living incognito because they lost the gambling match. And so the agreement was for 13 years, they live incognito. But the news had spread that the Pandavas had died in the house of Salak. So, you know how King Dhritarashtra, again, counseled by his evil son Duryodhan and Dushyant, they sent the Pandavas for a retreat or to take it easy for a while, for a holiday, into this beautiful place, and they were living in this house, but it was made out of shellac, a very substance which can catch fire very easily. So somehow they set fire, but somehow the Pandavas managed to escape through a tunnel, and Vidura also helped them in the escape. So news had spread that the Pandavas had died. So there was a lot of lamentation. So this false news had spread, but still Drupad wanted Draupadi to get married by Arjuna. So what he did, he decided, okay, he'll put a challenge where he'll invite all the princely order, and then he'll set such a difficult task that no one but only Arjuna can do it. So what he did, on the ceiling, he hung a fish, and that fish was protected by a veil. So the challenge was that someone in the princely order has to pierce the eye of the fish, but not looking at the fish. You don't have to look at the target. You have to look down in a pot of water. And that pot of water would also, the water in the pot would also be trembling. So that was like an impossible task, to pierce the eye of a fish. You know, the eye of a fish is actually very small. The fishes have a small eye. So you have to pierce that, and it's protected by a veil, and then on top of that you can't look at it. So you have to look in the water, which is also trembling. So he knew only Krishna or Arjuna could do it. But in that assembly, Karna was also there. Karna could also do it. But Draupadi, she very tactfully said that, I will only marry someone, no one lower than a Kshatriya. And Karna was considered to be the son of a carpenter, so a Shudra. So in other words, he was not qualified to participate. And this, of course, enraged him a lot. So then Arjuna came dressed up as a Brahmana, because they were living incognito. So he came dressed up as a Brahmana, and he accomplished the task very easily. And then everyone was surprised, and then Karna offered a fight, and then Arjuna won by the grace of Krishna, and he took Draupadi. So then the Pandavas, they took Draupadi to show her to their mother Kunti. So they said that, my dear mother, we've got a very nice jewel. So that time, she didn't know that they had actually got Draupadi. So she said, okay, you've got a very nice jewel. All five of you, you enjoy it amongst yourselves, or you share it amongst yourselves. So then they were like, so they said, okay, fine. This was the caliber of the Pandavas. They didn't try to explain, you know. But what we actually meant was this. This is what happened. These are the circumstances. But they said, okay, fine. That's the case. And under the guidance of Vyasadeva, then all the Pandavas, they married Draupadi. And hence her name is Panchali, that who has five husbands. But of course, this is forbidden in the Kali Yuga. So this verse in the Brahma Vavarta Purana. Ashwamedam gavalambham sanyasam pala payatrikam devarena sutot patim kalau pancha vivarjayat. So in the age of Kali, five things are forbidden. The offering of a horse in sacrifice. The offering of a cow in sacrifice. Number one, offering of a horse. Number two, offering of a cow. Why these are forbidden? Because in Kali Yuga, there is no expert brahmanas. So in the name of sacrifice, animal killing will happen. That's what will happen. And we even see that even Lord Buddha incarnated to stop this, because this was going on. In the name of sacrifice, slaughter was going on. So therefore, these things are forbidden due to lack of expert priesthood who can actually come. And the whole idea was you sacrifice an animal, and in that way the brahmana's potency is tested, whether they are pure brahmanas. And also these animals get either they get a human form of life immediately, or they get again the body of a cow or a horse. So there is no loss. And also what is forbidden in this, another thing which is forbidden, is the acceptance of the order of sannyas. So generally speaking, the order of sannyas is forbidden because in the age of Kali it is very, very difficult to maintain the renounced order of life. But of course, Vaishnava sannyas is fine for the purpose of preaching. For those who are very, very fixed up, they can take sannyas. But generally, it's forbidden. And then, Devarena Sutot Patim. So the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers is also forbidden. That's number four. And also another thing which is forbidden is Kalau Pancha Vivarjayat. That a man's begetting children in his brother's wife, that is forbidden. So here we see five brothers are marrying the same woman. But even that time, that was also pretty rare, because they were also shocked. But in Kali Yuga, that is totally forbidden. Even in Kali Yuga, it said that a man should only accept one wife. Before the Kshatriyas, they would accept many women as their wives. But in Kali Yuga, all that is also forbidden, because maintaining one wife in itself is a big challenge. So Draupadi, she's a partial incarnation of the goddess Sachi, who is the wife of King Indra in the heavenly planets. And she was born from the sacrifice, and she begot five sons. Their names are, from Yudhishthir she begot Pratibhit, from Bhimasen she begot Suta Soma, from Arjun Shrutakirti, from Nakul Satanika, and from Sahadev Shrutakarma. So these are the five sons of Draupadi, and they resemble the Pandavas. So therefore we heard yesterday how Ashwathama, he mistook them to be the Pandavas, and he was in a hurry and there was a lot of noise going on in the palace. So here we see that in these two verses how that the Pandavas were actually devotees of Krishna. Even Draupadi, Queen Kunti and the five Pandavas, they were devotees of Krishna. And they underwent so many different kinds of tribulations. So it doesn't mean that one is a devotee, you know, life is just going to be good. That there will be no problems as a devotee. That once we become a devotee, then there should be no material problems. But no, we're not living in utopia. That the nature of the material world is that there will be tribulations. So here we see that in the life of even great devotees like the Pandavas, there were so many tribulations right from their childhood. One after the other, there was a tribulation. And to the extent that their five sons were butchered. So if that would happen to us, maybe we would get very, very discouraged by that. By the process of, maybe we would blame Krishna or have a grudge against Krishna. Why Krishna is doing this to me? But the Pandavas didn't complain at all. They didn't complain in the least. So there's that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this prayer by Lord Brahma, where he says, very famous prayer, Tatte Nukampam Su Samik Shamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam Hridvag Vakubhi Vidadham Namaste Jiveda Yo Mukti Padesa Daya Bhag. So where Lord Brahma says, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So that's the mood of a pure devotee. That they actually, they joyfully accept the punishments and chastisements, or they joyfully obey, they undergo the punishments. how they see it, as how devotees see it, is that they see that how Krishna is actually trying to purify them. So sometimes even in the mind of a devotee, there can be these last tinges of the desire to enjoy the material world. So for devotees, though it seems like this is ordinary karma taking place, though externally it just looks like they are undergoing the karma, but for devotees it's not. For devotees it is actually Krishna personally orchestrating all these things in their life in order to purify them, in order to get rid of these last tinges of the desire to enjoy separately. So we see devotees actually take it in that way. And also, in order to approach Krishna, we have to be pure. The example given in that purport is, if one has to approach the sun, one has to be fire. Otherwise, you cannot approach the sun. So similarly, if one has to approach Krishna, Krishna is the supreme pure, one has to become purified. So the process of devotional service is such that there will be intense purification, because there is intense contamination. So there is actually a need of intense purification. So the process of bhakti is about intense purification. So as Kesha Prabhu was mentioning last week, that when we come to Krishna consciousness, be prepared for intense purification. And he was giving the example of, you know, or even my spiritual master gives this example. If we are in the shower, don't just jump out of the shower. So stay in the shower till you get cleansed. Don't do a half job. So in the shower, you know, take the soap, apply it on your body, and get rid of all the mud or the dust or the dirt, and then you come out of it. So similarly, the process of bhakti can be a very intense one, because the contamination is very intense. And sometimes it's like the example of a person who is drowning. You know, like in the ocean, if somebody is flying a boat, they are simply at the mercy of the ocean, because the ocean is very, very vast and a boat is very small and a person has limited energy. So we are just dependent on the mercy of the ocean. There can be fog, there can be, you know, big waves, rain, and one can easily drown. So if one is drowning and the spiritual master or somebody comes to save the person, then we have to cooperate with the spiritual master or the person who is saving us, with the lifeguard. So in bhakti we have to persevere. So there will be a lot of tests and purification. But if we somehow persevere through that, we will actually come out clean. Because the process of bhakti yoga is a very powerful one. So the Pandavas actually never complained to Krishna, and neither did they ask for anything. They did not tell Krishna, okay, you remove our distress. You know, why are we your devotees? Why are we going through all this? Or we are going through all this, can you remove this? They actually never prayed to Krishna for distress. Oh, sorry, to remove the distress. And even we see in the prayers of Queen Kunti, she said actually the opposite. She said that such distress should come upon, so that way I can think of your lotus feet. That way I will take more shelter of you. So on the contrary, a devotee invites such distress. So this is a very, very high platform. And we even see this pastime of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So once, as we know, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were Goswami. So every day they were living under a different tree. So they had no material possessions. Very, very austerely and simply they were living. So once Rupa Goswami desired to cook a nice feast for Sanatan Goswami, but he had no means. But he had this desire in his mind, I should serve Sanatan Goswami by preparing a nice opulent feast for him. So which is a very bona fide prayer or desire to have, to serve the Vaishnavas. So he desired like that, and after maybe an hour or two, this beautiful girl came there. And she said, you know, we are having a festival, my dear Baba, and here's some rice, wheat, ghee, and she gave him the ingredients. And then Rupa Goswami was a very good cook and he prepared a nice feast for Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami was honoring it and he said, by the way, where did you get the ingredients from? And Rupa Goswami said, this girl came out of from nowhere. After I thought like this, within an hour or so, this beautiful girl came and he described the characteristics of this girl and how she looked like. And she gave me the ingredients and I prepared this for you. And then Sanatana Goswami said, that was actually Radharani. So he chastised Rupa Goswami that why did you take service from her? We are meant to serve her, but why did you take service? So in this way we can see that very exalted devotees, they do not approach Krishna to get rid of the distress. They do not go to Krishna saying, you know, I need a job. Can you help me find a job? Or this is the problem I'm facing. The Lord knows that. So the Lord will actually give what is required for one, for one's purification. They have the faith in the Lord. Or they do not ask someone else to pray for them. So that's the mood of a very exalted devotee. So here we see Ashwatthama, he's a Brahma Bandhu or a Dvija Bandhu. So a Brahma Bandhu is one who is a Brahmana by name. Why Ashwatthama? Ashwatthama is the son of Dronacharya. So generally a Brahmana would not butcher. So in this case we see Ashwatthama, he actually butchered the sons of Panchali. And even in today's society that's considered a very heinous act. Though we are living in a very barbaric society in which they slaughter animals. But even today if somebody slaughters a child or a baby, that's considered to be atrocious. What to speak of 5,000 years ago. This was like practically unheard of. What took place. So Ashwatthama is considered to be an aggressor. So here Srila Prabhupada mentions a few aggressors. There's one who sets fire to the house. So if someone comes to your house and sets fire, such a person is an aggressor. Or someone attacks suddenly, all of a sudden somebody just comes and attacks you with deadly weapons. So Ashwatthama falls under this category. That he attacked all of a sudden, they are sleeping with weapons. So generally with Kshatriyas we see, if they fight, it will be an equal fight. Even we see with Jarasandha, when Bhima, Arjun and Krishna went in the guise of Brahmanas and they asked for a request. They said, we just want to fight. And what's his name? I just forgot. With Jay. Jarasandha, yeah. Jarasandha said, yeah, sure, but I'll only fight with Bhima. So they went out of the city and he gave Bhima a club. You know, he threw a club. He said, here's the club and let's fight. So the fighting is always amongst equals. So there's actually rules of conduct. There are codes of conduct in the Kshatriyas. If they fight, these have not like today's warfare, in which there's ambush, they'll kill the civilians. And there's all kinds of there are some codes of conduct, but not like before. So before, the battle would start in the day, would finish when the sun sets, and then there's no fighting. But Ashwatthama, he actually killed at night when they were sleeping, so he's considered an aggressor. And then there's one who plunders wealth, who takes away somebody's wealth unlawfully. And there's then someone who take someone's agricultural property or produce, or someone who entices one's wife. So these are like some aggressors. So it's interesting, Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he did not want to kill the Kauravas who were considered to be aggressors, because he got bewildered by the yogamaya potency of the Lord. He did not want to kill them because he said, how can I kill, you know, people like Dronacharya and Bhishma, who are worthy of my worship, because they were actually teachers of, they are the Brahmanas or the Gurus or the teachers of Arjuna. Bhishma was on the, yeah, Bhishma Pitama, he was on the opposing side. So he did not want to kill them. He did not want to kill them because he thought, you know, what's the point of killing them just for a kingdom? They are my superiors. I cannot even offer them a verbal fight, what to speak of killing them. And all that just for a kingdom which is temporary, and one should be saintly, he thought. So I should show them mercy and forgiveness. But the duty of a kshatriya is to protect. A kshatriya is meant to protect their wards. So we see with like Lord Ram, though he was very saintly, but at the same time he was not a coward. He killed the opposing party. So in this way we see that Ashwatthama was a Brahma Bandhu. He was born of a Brahmana father, but he did not have the qualities of a Brahmana. So what are the qualities of a Brahmana? Is in the 18th chapter, is there? Samodama tapasocham shantir arjumam evacha jnanam vijnanam sahitam brahma karma samudbhava. Yeah. Svabhavajam, yeah. So, saucham, which means shamo, peacefulness, damo, self-control, shamadama, saucham, cleanliness, tapa, austerity, shantir, tolerance, arjavam, truthfulness, or honesty, then jnanam, knowledge, and vijnanam means wisdom. So, these are the qualities by which a brahmana acts. So Ashwatthama, he did not have these qualities. He was born of a Brahmana father, but he lacked these qualities. Therefore, he's classified as a Brahma Bandhu. So generally, Arjuna would not kill someone who's a Brahmana, because to kill a Brahmana is a sinful activity. But because he's a Brahma Bandhu, and he undertook such a heinous activity, so Arjuna decided to kill him. And he wanted to kill him in the same way, to take revenge. Because he's a kshatriya, so he wanted to chop his neck off and bring it to Draupadi, so that she can stand on his head and take a bath. So that's a kshatriya. They will actually take revenge. A kshatriya is not a coward. So one would think, why all these pastimes are there in the Bhagavatam? But all these pastimes are there because they are actually related with Krishna. So anything related with Krishna becomes transcendental. So we see there is the Mahabharata and then there is the Bhagavatam. But in the Bhagavatam, the glories of Krishna are not secondary. They are actually primary. Whereas in the Mahabharata we see the glories of Krishna are like supplementary. So here, these sections are briefly described, and then the topics go towards Krishna. So the whole idea is that if one listens to such activities because they're related to Krishna, one's mind will become fixed on that. And when one's mind is fixed upon Krishna, one will naturally, if one is able to remember Antar Narayana Smriti, if one can remember Narayan at the time of death, then one will naturally go back to Krishna. So we should try to absorb ourselves in the various pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not what's happening on TV or what happened in home away or neighbors or this and that. So if we miss the serial, we should not be anxious to know what happened in that. But we shouldn't be anxious to know the prajalpa going on in the community. But we should actually be anxious to know what's going on in the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the intricacies and the details. And when we fix our mind like that, then naturally our mind will be absorbed in Krishna. And that is the perfection of life. So we see in India, because of this caste system, the caste system has caused so much havoc all over the world. Because as Krishna says, Chaturvarnaya Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. So there are four social orders and there are four spiritual orders. So this is a material system to elevate people, and this system is coming from Krishna. So where everyone is supposed to act according to their quality, and they're supposed to engage in that activity. So before the the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they would send their children, their sons, for training to become Brahmachari and acquire these Brahmanical qualities. But, or sometimes the Vaishyas and Shudras, they were not so much inclined to send their children because they do not see the value in acquiring Brahmanical qualities. And Prabhupada would say, even, you know, I'm canvassing people to join the Hare Krishna movement, but the parents, they will not send their children because they are simply interested in technology or making money. But when people's level of thinking actually rises, they will see the value in acquiring Brahmanical qualities. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish the head in the society, and then gradually everything else will come. So ISKCON is actually meant to propagate Brahmanical principles in society. And in that way, the four pillars of the society are established. Because right now, the four pillars of society are more or less destroyed. So we are standing on one leg, which is honesty, to some degree. And that leg is also being chopped off. So the duty of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is actually to train people in the Brahmanical principles, and ultimately to make them Vaishnavas. So I'll stop here. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhu. How come he was considered a Shudra? Karna. So Queen Kunti had this benediction. I can't remember the name of the sage, but she had a benediction that she could call any demigod. She could chant this mantra and then the demigod would come. And then she could beget a child from that demigod. So in order to experiment, she called the sun god. And then, by that time she was not married. So the sun god appeared and so she united with him, and then Karna was born. So he was quite unusual because he was born with like earrings. And was he born from the ear or Karna? Why is he called Karna? He was born from the ear. So to keep her virginity intact, he was born from the ear. But because in that time the social custom was such that if you conceive of a child outside the wedlock, it's considered to be like really degraded. So she actually got rid of Karna. I think she placed him on the Ganges or on the river, and then he floated, and then there was this carpenter. He found this child and he raised him. So he was therefore considered a son of a Shudra. But actually he's a warrior, Karna. So what's the question? Yeah. Therefore, that's why he could pierce the target. He could do it. And Draupadi knew he could do it. So she said, but because she wanted to marry Arjuna, so she said, you know, you're of a lower family, so you cannot participate. And he was trained by Dronacharya also. Sorry? What was the fish in? It was hanging on the ceiling.
I don't know.
I will have to read the Mahabharata. You can ask Gopal Mandesh, she can tell you. All I know, the fish was hanging on the ceiling, and then there was a wheel around the fish, and they had to look in the water, which was trembling. And fired. So he had to the bow and arrow like this, and you have to look down. But I don't know how it was hanging. I guess that's not very important anyway. No, the arrow had to go through the wheel. There was a wheel. It had to go through the wheel and then hit the eye of the fish. Pierce the eye of the fish. So you have a fish hanging, and around that there's a wheel. And then there was some maybe hole in that wheel, and it has to go through that and hit.
You're looking at the ball being
pointed
around.
Yeah. You look at the ball down there. No, the fish was hanging on the ceiling. The fish was hanging on the ceiling, but there was a pot of water down there. So you had to look in the water and fire the arrow. Yeah, the fish was. I suppose it was dead. I don't know if it was flapping on, to make it even more harder, if it was flapping. Was it moving?
Yeah.
Okay, and the...
Reflection.
Yeah. Okay, so the point was it wasn't very easy. That's the point.
Expert
archer. Yeah, you have to be really an expert to do that. That's the main point. The details, you can go on the Veda base and there's Mahabharata there and you can read it. And you can tell me. Anything else?
See, like Kunti, no, we cannot invite difficulties because in Kali Yuga, now we have got stability. Mental fitness, physical fitness or mental stability. That is very difficult.
Yeah, but practice of bhakti, one can come to that stage.
But she could invite demigods. Here, we can't even invite human beings as well.
Yes, right. Yes, Madhu.
Since the five things that aren't recommended in Kali Yuga,
yes.
I'm offering flesh to the forefathers.
Yes.
In other uses, that was okay?
Yeah, I would think so, because it's forbidden in Kali Yuga, so in other yugas it was allowed.
But how come offering flesh to the
forefathers? I'm not sure. I'll have to ask someone. I know there's pinda, so you offer pinda to the forefathers. Offering flesh, I don't know if there's anyone else. That's why I didn't speak on that. I wasn't sure on that. I have to clarify.
See, bhakti is that, as you said, Krishna will always take it up without your knowledge. You don't have to pray for it.
Yeah, that's an aspect of surrender, that one depends on Krishna for one's protection. So, and Krishna protects me. Anything else? Yes, Prabhupada.
The moment warfare is so horrible, we are killing unarmed people and women and children.
Yeah, that's right. It's in modern warfare, they bomb the civilians first. Or they'll blow up the dam and then all the civilians suffer. And even the Kshatriyas are very cowardly. They will hide in civilian areas. They'll take shelter of civilian areas and fight from there. So the whole thing is very corrupt. Warfare is very corrupt.
Okay.
Krantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shlok Prabhupada.